Klali, and I myself teach for that amount of time. I get a little taste of how much you're sitting and you're learning and you're taking it in. And Baruch Hashem, we were zochet to such great talmidot who really want to just take in everything and really call it kavod. I know it's not easy. Today's shir I have entitled, "Was the Shalvim Guy Right?" And I just have to say at the outset, of course he was. Doesn't make a difference what happens this year. But let me explain to you a little bit about the background. About 2 years ago, there's a story that made the papers. I'm not even talking about the religious press. I'm on television, radio, about this Shalvim guy. This Shalvim guy's name was Tsuriel. Okay? He's married already. Okay? And this guy, Tsuriel, he was in what's called officer's course. Now, just to bring that, to translate that to American terminology, he basically got accepted to the equivalent of Harvard Law. To get into this officer's course, you start as a regular soldier. If you're really, really good, so then they say, can you please become a mak, which is a mefaked kita? Can you please take another course? Serve a little longer in the army, and then you'll be a commander of a group of 10 chayalim. And if you're really, really good, then they say, well, we want you for this officer's course. It's just a few hundred soldiers every year out of thousands and thousands. And Tsuriel was selected to do this officer's course. It means giving up on Shana Dalet and the Hesder program. If you know what I'm talking about, you don't come back to yeshiva for Shana Dalet. And he decided together with the Rosh Yeshiva that this is the best thing to do. And he was doing great. And you have to remember that for a frum boy to do the officer's course, it's not an everyday thing. And he was doing great. Until that night. What happened that night? What happened in the officer's course? It was one of these evenings of entertainment, okay? Part of the army experience is that you have a good time together. And they took everyone, all these future officers, out to a night out and like to have a good time together, okay? And they're in one of these theaters and one of the girls gets up to sing, okay? So like a good Shalvim boy, he's like, this isn't my cup of tea. And he gets up and he leaves with the five other chayalim. The other boys were not from Shalvim. And they get up and they leave. Okay, their intention was to wait until the girl finishes singing, and then they'll go back inside. Anyway, the mefaked of the whole course, this officer's course, comes outside. And he looks very perturbed, as an understatement. And he's like, things don't work this way in the army. Can you please go inside? Well, what do you do now? So Tsuriel and his friend said, I'm sorry, we can't do that. We really have to wait till this thing is over. And then Mefaked says it again and again, until finally the fourth time he says that magical word. Who knows it? What? No. Bifkuda. What does bifkuda mean?
On my command.
Which means if you don't do it, you're a misarev pkuda. Which means what? You are violating a command in the army. Which means A, you're thrown into jail. And B, no more officer's course. Now what does he do? The guy says bifkuda. Tsuriel says, I'm sorry, ani misarev pkuda. He says, I'll talk to you tomorrow in my office. The next day in the office, he says, I would like you to write and sign a letter which says that if ever a pkuda of tzahal contradicts a halacha, the command of Tzal overrides, and if you don't do that, you're out of the course. Okay? And Tzuriel calls the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva said, I'm sorry, you cannot sign such a letter. It's simply not true. Halacha is above everything. And about 3 days later, Tzuriel Metzger was in the yeshiva. He was kicked out of the course. He was proud of himself. He had no remorse. And he was all smiles. His picture was all over the Israeli newspapers and television. And now the major debate began. Tzuriel Metzger, a hero, or what's called in Hebrew a friar? Do you know what that is? A sucker, the guy who's just stupid. He should have just sat there. Now, of course, in the Chiloni press, you can imagine the attack. These frum guys, they're putting halacha over the Medina, over Tzal. That doesn't bother me as much, because what do I expect? They don't hold from halacha. But in the frum press, there was a debate. On this side, some were saying, why didn't the guy just sit there and not pay attention? He had to pay attention to the girl singing. Let him sit there. And others came out and said, Tzuriel, he's our man. He made a statement. The statement was that I'm not going to sacrifice my religion in order to fulfill the pkudot of Tzahal. I thought maybe today's Shir Klali would be a good opportunity to give you girls a little taste of that debate and what halacha has to say. Did he do the right thing or didn't he do the right thing? Let's begin with the following assumption. The assumption is that if there is indeed an Isser to remain present in the room when a girl is singing, so there's no heter to do so, even if it means you're going to be fired from a job. How many of you here are learning Hilchot Lashon Hara? The Chafetz Chaim uses this example. He says, if a boss is forcing you to tell Lashon Hara, and he threatens you that you'll be thrown out of the job, you have to give up the job, you're not allowed to be over Yisurim, in order to save your career or to save money. That's the halacha. The halacha is that we're not allowed to be over Yisurim for some comfort in life or for some career opportunity. Okay, if it's pikuach nefesh, it's something else. This is not a case of pikuach nefesh. And therefore our assumption, girls, is if it is indeed prohibited to be present in a room where there is kol isha, then he was right. Then he has to get up and leave. He has to refuse the command, and he did the right thing. He's a hero. But if it's permissible, if what he did was wrong, he should have just sat there, then what is he? He's a religious fanatic. And this was the debate in the press. Who is this guy? And of course, in Shalvim, it was a particularly burning question. Because, oh, you're from Shalvim? Do you know Tzuriel? Of course you know Tzuriel. And then you would hear one of two things. What a hero. He is awesome. And then I would say, yeah, you know, he was in my shir, you know. And then if the guy says, what a religious fanatic. Oh, yeah, he was in the other shir, you know. And then that's how we, you know, people would from the outside. People react in two opposite ways. By the way, he was not in my shir, but I was still proud of him when we got compliments, okay? No, okay, so now the question basically is, somebody who is present in such a situation, do you have to get up and leave? Or do you have to close your ears? Do you have to put your fingers in your ears? Or is there some heter to stay?
That happened in our school. This woman can be singing all the rabbis'
life. Really? Wow. Now, where else does this come up, girls? The Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaShoah, what's it called? The ceremony. Who comes to the Yom HaShoah ceremony on Har, what's it called? What's that? On Yad Vashem. You guys haven't had May, the month of May. Iyar in Israel is the most heart-wrenching month. You have Yom HaShoah. and you go to Yad Vashem, or you watch the tekes, the ceremony, and the survivors, and just a few days later, Yom HaZikaron, it's an emotional roller coaster. Then you go into Yom HaAtzmaut, it's nothing like you've seen in America. And who's sitting at that ceremony? The Rabbanim HaRashiim. Rav Metzger, but no relation, by the way, to this Tzuria, and Rav Amar are sitting there, and the lady is singing HaTikvah, or whatever it is. Do they have to get up?
What do they do?
Does anyone know what they do? Has anyone
earplugs?
Ever seen it?
They wear earplugs.
We will discuss it at the end. Okay, so says the Gemara in Pesachim, Itmar hana bala liadam bal korcho, the Gemara here is talking in general about someone who is getting forbidden hana'a. He is getting some sort of pleasure that is forbidden. And Efshar v'lo mechaben. He doesn't have to be here. He can be somewhere else. But he's here not to get the hana'a. What does v'lo mechaben mean? He has no intention of getting this hana. A classic example would be, you happen to be sitting outside the rest stop on the highway, and there's a McDonald's right there, and you smell the basar b'chalav, you smell them making a cheeseburger. You're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav. You're also not allowed to get what? Hana. You girls know this, it says three times in the Torah. You're not allowed to smell the good smell. What if you're sitting at the rest stop, you're eating your Lay's potato chips, you're not eating basar b'chalav, and you got the Coke in your hand, it's kosher l'mahadrin, but you're smelling the basar b'chalav? This would be the case, an example of this case. Hainu pluktai od Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. This is a machlokas between two Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Who are these? What do they say, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? I'm skipping to source 3. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer adam mitar kisei v'safsal, ubilvad shelo yitkaven la'asot chariz. Hilchos Shabbos, students, do you know what this is referring to? Mm-hmm. Yes, do you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Pulling a heavy bench or chair or something across the yard that you don't mean to make a furrow in the ground, but that happens.
Excellent. Rabbi Shimon says, one is allowed to drag furniture across your backyard as long as you have no intention of making a charitz. How did you translate charitz?
A furrow.
A furrow. I'm not sure I know what that is. What is that?
It's like when you're plowing the...
One of those rows?
One of those rows.
Okay, yeah. You're not allowed to make one of those rows, okay? Now, if you had kavana to make the row, which of the Lamed Tes Melachos is that?
Choresh.
Excellent, Choresh. Are you allowed to make that row below kavana? So Rabbi Shimon says yes. What is this called in rabbinic literature? Dovar she'eino miskaven. Excellent. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda says, Dovar she'eino miskaven is asur. Rabbi Shimon says that a Dovar she'eino miskaven is mutter. I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, wait a second, I thought this is a Hilchos Shabbos concept. That's exactly what I wanted to show you in source 1. This is a global halachic concept. If you are somewhere where you are inadvertently doing an iser, you have no kavana to do so, Rabbi Shimon would say this is permissible. That means, who cares if you're smelling the basar b'chalav? Who in the world cares? You didn't come here for that. You understand? You didn't come here for that. And Rabbi Yehuda would say this is asur. Okay? Let's see this halacha lemaisa in source 4. Shulchan, not a very long shir today, girls. Just a few makoros. Asur lishmoa klei shir shel avodas kochavim o listakel benoy avodas kochavim kevan shenene beri'iyah. Okay? One is not allowed to enjoy, or one is not allowed to hear the music of Avodas Kochavim, of an idol worshiper. Why? Kevan Shen, or you're not allowed to look at some beauty. If there's a beautiful church, assuming that Christianity is Avodas Kochavim, Kevan Shenehena Biriya, you're getting Hana'a from idol worship, and this is a problem. By the way, music that was written for the Christian church is a problem. I'm not just talking about music, like Jingle Bells probably was not originally written for Christmas, right? But if there was something, I remember as a kid, I was totally blown away by this song, not as a kid, I'm talking like little teenage years. The first time I heard the song Amazing Grace, I don't know if you, I was blown away. The beauty just overtook me. And I heard it with a duet, and it was a man and a woman. I was before I was makbid on these things. And it was just unbelievable.
You can't listen to that?
What? No, because each one sang separately. It's
Amazing Grace. Would that be
correct? So Amazing Grace, according to this, it sounds that the words sound like a Christian work, right? That would be a problem.
I thought you could listen as long as you don't see their faces. No,
no, this was on television, Sarah. Okay. Go ahead.
I think it's music, and you have to, like, also, they have classes, and they also have things like mass. Are you allowed to sit in that?
Ah, music course. Wow. Oh, so that's the Ram. Okay, hold on. Let's just keep reading here. So says the Shulchan Aruch, one is not allowed to get Hana'a from Avodah Zarah. That would include music and physical beauty, okay? But look at the Raman, the parentheses there. Umihu, what's umihu? However, in Aramaic, however, davar she'en miskamein mutter. If you're not here to listen to Amazing Grace, okay, if it happens to be on the radio in the taxi, you don't have to jump out. That's basically what he's saying. You don't have to say, can I please get off, or can you please turn off the radio? Because it's a davar she'eino miskamein. What did we just learn? We paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Did you catch that? We paskin like Rabbi Shimon, just like davar she'eino miskamein on Shabbos is okay, so too with Isser Hana'a. And therefore I would say, Sharon, if it's music class, you're not coming there to hear that. Classic case of davar she'eino miskamein. Okay? Yes?
Let's say it's like Spirit of Omer, and like you are playing music or whatever, like you ask them to stop, and you just also assume that davar she'eino miskamein.
Also, davar she'eino miskamein. Perfect example.
Let's
say
you have to study for a test, so you are miskamein, so listen to it because you need
to. Wow.
When you take your music class,
if you have a test, I would ask a major posek on that one. Okay, now, girls, is sort of, so based on what we've seen here today, Suriel Metzger, is he a religious fanatic or is he a hero?
He's a hero.
Think again. Try again. Exactly. Perfect. If Rabbi Shimon was matir, davar she'eino miskamein, he didn't come there to hear the girls singing. And by the way, she wasn't singing a Kalbach Nigin, you understand? This wasn't Kadosh, you don't have the heter of Shirei Kedusha. It wasn't a Kumzitz, okay? She was doing whatever. And therefore, so this would definitely be a case of a davar she'eino miskamein, that would be mutter. Okay, here there's somewhat of a turn now in the mood, yeah? Noi is beauty. Bin noi is in the beauty of.
You can't look at like a church.
In order to get pleasure.
What about like a Baha'i temple?
What about painting?
That's a problem. I heard that Rav Avinair, I heard, says that's a serious problem.
What about Michelangelo?
Huh?
Isn't that in a church?
What are you talking about?
Michelangelo?
No.
Ah. I don't know.
What about like a painting by like Christian?
The question is, it for the church? Is it for general
beauty?
What
was the painting made for the church, but now it's in the museum?
That's an excellent question. I don't know how to answer it.
Things like that. Also, a lot of art museums.
You guys have awesome questions.
I love Christian art in the museums.
Definitely. I don't know how to answer you. You're asking an awesome question. Okay, now girls, look at source 7. Says the pasuk. I'm skipping 5 and 6. Let's go right to 7. Says the pasuk in Yeshayahu, "Va'otzem einav meraot bera." Yeshayahu praises the man who closes his eyes from looking at something that is despicable, something that is evil. Who is this? What is this referring to? Who is this man that is praiseworthy for closing his eyes? The discussion of the Gemara here is fascinating. Look at this. Amar Rabbi Bar Abba, Ze she'en mistakel b'nashim b'shah she'omdot al hakvisa. The Rishonim explained that when women used to do laundry, they would go down to the river and they would actually go into the water to wash the clothing, and they would have to lift their skirts above the knee.
That's like a sina.
What'd you say? I didn't hear you. Okay, they would have to lift up their skirts. And this is what the pasuk is referring to. If you refrain from looking at the woman in this state, where she's not tsanua, the Navi praises you. The girls, just listen closely to each step of the Gemara, okay? The Gemara wants to interpret the pasuk in Yeshayahu as follows. If you're careful not to look at the woman in this state, then you are praiseworthy. Heichi dami. What case are we referring to? I de'ika darka achrita rashahu. If this guy closes his eyes, he refrains from looking at the woman, but he could have walked elsewhere. He didn't have to walk on the beach, on the seashore. He could have walked through the city and not even come close to the woman who is not properly dressed. He is a rasha. Listen to this harsh word. Even the one that doesn't look, even the one that closes his eyes, why is he praiseworthy? He shouldn't have been here. Why is he walking this way? He could have accomplished the same thing by walking on the next street through the city. Why is he walking on the river? He is a rasha. Listen to the strong word. Idaleka darka achrita. And if there's no other way for him to go, if this is the way he walks to work, there's no other way to go. Anusu. What does anusu mean? What do you want from the guy? What do you expect of him? He has to walk with his eyes closed. Is this what the Torah wants? Listen closely. If this is the only way to walk, what do you want the guy to do? To walk like this? There are many halachot we learn from this, from these three lines in the Gemara. If this is the only way to walk, you gotta be normal. You're allowed to open your eyes, and if you see the woman in a non-tsanua state, you're anus. You understand? You're not held responsible for that. So you understand the two extremes of the Gemara? If you have some other way of walking, you are a rasha. What are you doing here? What are you even coming close? Why are you putting yourself in a test? And if there's no other way of walking, you don't have to close your eyes. You're on news if you see something improper. That's not an avera. Okay, this happens all the time. You walk through the street, you see women even in Yerushalayim who are not properly dressed. I'm not held responsible for that. I'm on a tiyul with my family to En Gedi, and there's someone in a tank top. I'm not held responsible for that. I'm honest, right? I'm allowed to be here. I'm allowed to go out with my family to a tiyul, and therefore, I'm not held responsible for that. So in what case is Yeshayahu HaNavi, in what case is he praising the one that closes his eyes? Look at the maskana of the Gemara. Liolam deleka darka achrita. We're referring to the guy who has no other option. V'afilu achi mi boile lemenas nafshe. You are praiseworthy if you do everything you can not to see the woman. Okay? If you have some other way of walking, Rasha. If you have no other way of walking, you are praiseworthy if you do everything you can in the border of normalcy in order to avoid seeing something not tsanua. Okay? That is the maskana of this Gemara. Is there something in source 7 that counters what we did here on the board?
Yeah.
What?
That he had a way that he didn't have to
listen
to it, so he could have walked out and he didn't move the Russia.
What, say that again?
If he hadn't walked out, then he would have been considered a Russia.
The Gemara says if you have some other way of walking and you walk where the women have to lift their skirts, he's a Russia. Doesn't this counter our principle? Davar she'eino mitkaven. The man isn't coming there for that. Granted, he has another way of walking. But he's not here to see the woman with her skirt up. That's not why he came. He's walking by. Why don't we apply the rule, davar she'eino mitkaven mutter? Is there a question over there? This is the major question that the Achronim deal with on this Gemara. What is unique about source 7 that prevents us from applying the regular rule? You didn't come here for that. You don't want to get this enjoyment. It's a davar she'eino mitkaven. Look at the Chafetz Chaim, source 9. Lefi psak halacha, dekaimelan k'Rabbi Shimon, the davar she'eino mitkaven mutter, yemutter afilu itle darka achrina. Lemezal, we are feeling moroe. Viyanti harbe bahaikusha. Chafetz Chaim says, I had a hard time with this problem. Why is it that if we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that a davar she'eino mitkaven is mutter, why is the Gemara so harsh on somebody who could avoid being present when there's a woman that's not properly dressed? What's the big deal? He's not coming here for any form of hanah. Look at his answer, because his answer has tremendous bearing on this issue. V'nir Ali, the svaras ha-gemara, the ba'arayot, mipnei shenafsho shel adam mecham datan, sarich lehachmir yoter. It seems to me that when we're dealing with arayot, we're not dealing here with avodah zara in this gemara. This is not basar b'chalav, this is arayot. And when we're dealing with arayot, nafsho shel adam mecham datan, the pull, the attraction is so much greater. There's so much more of a desire, we need more gedarim. We need more ways to assure ourselves that we will not sin. And therefore, tzarech lahachmir yoter. Look at the bold type. Pen yitgaber yitzro alav bal korcho. When it comes to arayot, when it comes to sexual matters, there's a greater chashash, there's a greater concern. Chazal said, take one more step back. Even if you didn't come here to get this hana, you shouldn't be here. Iika darka achrina, there's some other way of walking, rasha. Don't even be present. Now, based on this Chafetz Chaim, the following rules will apply to kol isha, which is in the category of arayot. A, if you have no choice, you have no choice, you can't just get up and leave for whatever reason, then you're allowed to stay sitting and have what in mind? I'm not here to get hana. I'm not here, I didn't come here for this hana. It's happening before my eyes, before my ears, but I'm not getting any pleasure from it. That would be permissible. But if you can be elsewhere, if you have some other way of walking, you don't have to be present in this space, then Chazal have the term Rasha, you shouldn't even be here. let's deal with the Yom HaShoah ceremony first, because it's so much easier to deal with that. Does the Rav HaRashi have a choice? Is that call that Rav Metzger of Amar could get up in the middle and leave? It's not a possibility. The Chilul Hashem would be too great. Maybe they should just say, well, we're not coming. Do you realize what kind of impact the very fact that these Rabbanim are sitting there, they say a Perek Tehillim, they say Kaddish, Rav Lau, you know, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, himself a Holocaust survivor, when he gets up to speak, this is the most emotional part of the tekes, the chilonim, everybody, the whole nation is waiting for Rav Lau, the Rav HaRashi of Tel Aviv, to say that he shouldn't be there, it's not shaykh. So in that case, it would seem obvious that what? That they're allowed to be there and have in mind, we're not coming here to hear a Kol Isha. What is the case of the Kursk Tzinin? Does he have a choice? Or doesn't he have a choice? What do you girls say? Maybe one can say, well, he has a choice. This Chayal is going to tell him what to do. Maybe somebody say, well, he doesn't have a choice. There's a Pkuda. What do you girls think? I'm interested to know what you think. This was the major debate in the yeshiva 2 years ago.
At the same time, the Gemara doesn't say you have to find somewhere else to work that doesn't bring you by the river.
Good point, and therefore what?
It says if there's another way to walk, but let's say you're a fisherman and every place along the river people are doing their laundry. It doesn't say you can't be a fisherman, you need to find another job for yourself.
Good point.
It says if there's another way to go.
Right.
It doesn't say change your destination. And if the alternative to following this command is
quitting
jail,
the course.
And it's also military jail, then it doesn't seem like
I'm sorry interrupting you.
It doesn't seem
some
like
some rabbi said what Evie said. If you want to be an officer in Tzahal, there's no other way to walk. These were the rabbis that said it's fine. Tzuriel Metzger, it was unnecessary what he did. Let me tell you what the Rosh Hashiva said. Yeah, what do you want to say?
The other side, you can also say that you might think that you don't have another choice once the order says the Kudah, but then you're showing who your submission is to. If you turn off the God.
Listen to what the Rosh Hashiva said. What would the army do if the army knew that Frum boys will not sit through such a thing?
They
wouldn't have it, or you know what they would do? Ahead of time, they would tell the boys, come a half hour late. You know, there's something the first half hour that you won't feel comfortable with. Maybe the case is there is another way. If we show who we are, what we believe in, then Tzahal will accommodate. This was the major debate, and it really all goes back to the Gemara Bava Basra. Is this considered another way, or is this not considered another way? The Rosh Hashiva and Shalvim happen to feel that we have enough power. There are enough yeshiva boys doing the army where we can ask or we can even demand, accommodate us. You want us to serve in the army? We're here. We're here to serve our nation in Tzahal. But at least accept the fact that we have certain guidelines. If we make those guidelines clear, then the army will come through. In fact, these evenings, do they make better soldiers?
Nope.
I don't know if they make better soldiers, you understand? If it's something, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Day, you gotta do something on Shabbos, so then you can't expect the army to accommodate. But if it's such a thing, we have the right to demand. This was the give and take that was going on in Israel about 2 years ago, and what was at the center? Shalvim for men. Okay, an amazing, amazing thing. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for listening. By the